Greetings again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be back with you. I was gone last week because of a flat tire that came about while I was coming down I-75 to deliver that message. The providence of God, thank God for His good pleasure of allowing us to be together again today. Today I want us to look to things which are revealed to us. Now that title is prompted by the middle portion of Deuteronomy 29:29. We're going to consider the first part of that verse in a few minutes as we move on in this message. A New Testament word study renders the word revealed to mean the following: revealed, that in which something is presented to the mind directly, and that something is something that was hidden, previously hidden or covered up. And it's not something that we can figure out intellectually. It's something hidden that must be uncovered and inserted into the mind and the heart, may I say, spiritually. Someone other than yourself must do that, and that someone is the Spirit of God the Father, who is also the Spirit of God the Son, who is also known as the Holy Spirit of God. May I illustrate to you from the Old Testament this idea of the word revealed, again meaning presenting something to the mind directly in spirit. Isaiah 22:14, the prophet Isaiah says, "Then it was revealed in my hearing by the Lord of hosts." That is direct revelation from God to the mind of a human being spiritually. That human being was Isaiah at that time. Now, just what things are we concerned with when we quote from the scripture proclaiming things which are revealed to us? I want us to open, as far as reading from the scriptures, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9 through verse 14. This is so full of the richness of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 14. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." Do we love God today? "But God has revealed," God has made revelation to us, through His Spirit. "For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we, the elect of God, true Christians, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us." Remember, God reveals these things through His Spirit, "that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. So you see, intellectually, you can't figure these things out. But which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Again, that is teaching us by revelation. But the natural man, those who are not born again, the natural man, the natural human being, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Is everybody listening to that? If you're not born again, you will not receive these things. Your intellect is not going to help you here. For they are foolishness to that one, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. These things, being freely given to us by God to know, now listen to me, do not include all that God knows. That's clearly pointed out, as I spoke of earlier. We're going to go to the first portion of Deuteronomy 29:29. The first part of that verse reads this way: the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Now, simply put, we don't know all the things that God knows. God knows everything there is to know. We do not. And God does not give us that. Now, I'm going to give you an example of that. If you're one of the elect of God, why did God choose you? Now, you can say, well, because he loved me. Well, then, why does God love you? Folks, when I look at myself, there was nothing in me to love. I can't answer why God loved me. That's a secret thing of God. Maybe he'll reveal that to us later, maybe while we are with him, actually, in heaven, glorified together with his Son, Jesus Christ. But the secret things belong to God. But as we just said when we read from the first letter to the Corinthians, there are things we are going to know that are freely given to us by God through his Holy Spirit. Now, just what are some of these things freely given to us by revelation? Well, number one, as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, these are spiritual things, the things of God, even deep things of God. I want to be very specific now. To God's elect, there is revelation of the stretched out arm of God reaching out to save them. That arm is his power to save, revealed in and to us. I want us to go now to John. John chapter 12. Again, these scriptures today are so overwhelmingly rich. John chapter 12, verses 37 through 41. But although he, that's a reference to Jesus Christ, had done so many signs before them, the people, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Now, I'm going to say this. Even all those signs which were done repeatedly, over and over again, these people did not believe in him that this might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed our report? From Isaiah 53:1. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory, the glory of God, and spoke of him. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6 and read from that portion of the scripture. Oh, how I pray that you're paying good, close attention, that the Spirit of God has garnered your heart and mind. We need to hear this. Isaiah 6, beginning at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train, and his train, actually, and that's speaking of a robe, the length of his robe, filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. The one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, says Isaiah, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Folks, that's every human being that's ever lived, really. "For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal he had taken with thongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with that coal and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." That word purged could be translated atoned for. And your sin is atoned for. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send?'" The voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Now there, folks, is a beautiful example of the triunity of God. The pronoun I, and then the plural pronoun us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And who will go for the Godhead? "Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Listen very closely now to the rest of what we're going to read from Isaiah 6. "And he said, 'Go and tell this people.'" Now, literally, the scripture here says, "Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive." This is a continual exposure to the word of God. "Make the heart of this people fat and their ears heavy." Make the heart of this people fat and their ears heavy, "and shut their eyes," by continually bringing them the word of God, is what he's saying there. "Lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed." Now, for you hearers out there today, those with ears to hear, please listen. The Apostle John, as we've just read from John and then moved to Isaiah, the Apostle John interprets Isaiah 6:10 as saying God has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts from the words we just read. "Make the heart of this people fat and their ears heavy and shut their eyes." How did Isaiah do that? Well, I've already alluded to it. by preaching to this people repeatedly. That's how they were hardened. I say that because of what Isaiah had to say to them, what God told Isaiah to say to them. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Folks, it's clear. Those people were regular attenders to the Word of God. From that repeated attendance to the report of God through the prophet, this people's heart was made fat. Their hearts had become dull and insensitive due to the continual preaching of Isaiah. Their ears were made heavy. To hear God's word had become a burden which they were tired of bearing. Their eyes were shut because they were satisfied that they had heard enough from Isaiah. Now, folks, please pay attention. The preaching of the Word of God will blind the eyes and harden the hearts of many who attend the preaching of God's Word for a season. As it was, as we've seen in Isaiah, in Israel, as it was under the law, so it is with the church under grace. Can't be any more clear here. In the Revelation chapter 3, reading at verse 14 and moving on, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. That's none other than Jesus Christ. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, church, listen up. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and had need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me, and that's without price, folks. You buy without price. You buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Now, you can hide that from human beings, but you can't hide it from God. He knows the heart. You can put on the best show of all time, fool all the church members, but you can't fool God. It's revealed to God so clearly. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. So often that word is just butchered, that particular portion of Scripture. He's not calling people to be saved when he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Ecclesiastes 5:2. When the beloved of Christ is in her bedchamber and Christ knocks at the door, that's his beloved, folks. He knows her condition and that she's saved. In Luke chapter 12, we have Christ at the door knocking at the faithful people waiting for him so that they will open the door. Christ is knocking at the door to see if there are any saved on the other side. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Why? Because they are of him. They are faithful, waiting for him. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now that example from Revelation 3 is positively, obviously, people who were attending the preaching of God's word, but appear to be dangerously close, if not already there, to having hardened hearts. Dull ears and eyes satisfied as if they were okay when they were actually stone cold blind. Such people may not be of God, as we learned in my last message 2 weeks ago. Christ says the following about that kind of a person. John 8:47. The one who is of God hears God's word. Hears God's words, actually. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. You are unregenerate. You've not been born again. Now, back to what the Apostle John quoted from Isaiah 53:1. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The report spoken of here is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier, I told you that arm of the Lord is stretched out to save God's elect. I also said that arm is his power to save. Listen to what God said to the children of Israel in the Old Testament in Exodus 6:6. The children of Israel here being a type of the church of God, God's true church. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. And as Christians know, redemption means salvation. In addition, that arm is his power to save. Therefore, his arm represents the gospel. Romans 1:16, the Apostle Paul, as led by the Holy Spirit of God, says this: I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. The report and the arm of the Lord both represent the gospel concerning Christ. Therefore, we must answer the text. Who has believed the gospel concerning Christ? To whom has it been revealed? I hope you've been listening. This all makes a great deal of sense because it comes from the mind of God. And it's been revealed unto his people. For those of you with eyes to see and perceive, this text clearly states those who believe are those to whom Christ is revealed. Now, I know there are those out there, even though what we've gone over thus far, there are those out there who will say, what else can you base that on? When almost all churches say you must make your own decision concerning Christ. You have the information about Christ. Now you must choose to accept or reject Christ. It's up to you. Now, that you know, they're going to figure it out. Beyond what we've already covered, Christ himself addressed this very issue without mincing words and with no fear if anyone was going to be offended. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, reading at verse 13. Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? Who do human beings say that I am?" Excuse me, actually he says, "Who do they say that I, the Son of Man, the Son of Humanity, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." It wasn't figured out through the intellect of the human mind, but my Father who is in heaven. Of course, he's saying clearly there, God the Father revealed this to you. Indeed, the Father reveals Christ to his elect so that they will come to him by faith. John 6:37, Christ says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me." And folks, as I've been saying repeatedly here, even recently, there's only one way to come to Christ. Only one. No other way to come to Christ but by faith. Listen to more from God's word in regard to faith. Acts 13:48. "As many as had been appointed to eternal life believed." Further in the book of Acts, 18:27, speaks of those who had believed through grace. That's so clear that this faith, this saving faith, is the gift of God given to us in the new spiritual birth, which occurs when God the Father sends the Spirit of Christ into the hearts and minds of the elect of God. In turn, Christ by his Spirit reveals God the Father to us. Reveals God the Father to us. Two scriptures are key to those truths. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse 21. We'll read through, we'll just read verses 21 and 22. "In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son." Now please listen. "No one knows who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." That is actually what that text says. "And the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." Remember we spoke of the Spirit of God coming into the hearts, the Spirit of the Son of God being sent by the Father, coming into the hearts of His people. Just exactly how does the Lord Jesus Christ reveal God the Father to us? Galatians 4:6. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, I think that goes deeper. I really do. I just saw this past week. I think this goes deeper than a surface reading of it. It's as if we're crying, Abba, Father, in that text. But listen more closely. It's the Spirit of Christ crying out to your heart that God has fathered you and is in fact your Father. That's what we see in that particular verse. God sending forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Spirit of God crying to you that God is your Father. Revealing to you, as Christ said, that God is in fact your Father. Remember now, this is a spiritual thing. Flesh and blood did not do that. God did that. Once that is done by God in your heart, crying out to your heart, Abba, Father, then and only then will you cry out to God as your Father. Now, I hope that makes some sense to you. But I think that's actually what we see in that verse. Once God, by the Son of God's Spirit, reveals to our hearts that God is our Father, then we cry out, Abba, Father. To know God, which is salvation, to know God and His salvation comes by one way and there is no other. I know we've spoken of faith, but that way is revelation. That way is revelation. God uncovers what was previously hidden from you and I. It was covered up, but He speaks directly into your heart by His Spirit. He speaks directly to your mind by His Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. When that occurs, my friends, we believe, we flee to Christ, we cry out to God, our Father. I close with this. I say this to God's elect. It took years for me to arrive at the realization that I didn't figure out spiritual things. There was a long time that I believed I did, that I might have been just a little bit better than the next person. I was more committed and so on. What, you know, that's nothing but foolish folly. But I finally realized, and I'm going to explain that, that God revealed these things to me. It was revelation. The last part of Philippians 3:15 applies very well to my situation and may well apply to you. The last part of Philippians 3:15 says this, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. So maybe you are like me in this. If you think you figured out anything that is spiritual and don't realize God revealed it to you, God will reveal even that to you. Think about it. Amen.